Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
What is the law to us today? What does that law mean to Christians today? Well, for a lot of folks, they feel like, you know, the law is really, it's the Old Testament. It's not a part of the New Testament. It's not a part of who we are today as Christians. And so, you know, we need to just put the law behind us and move on in Jesus. Move on to bigger and better things in Jesus. But as we've been looking at, we know that if the law came from God and God is eternal, then His law is eternal. His law is something that is forever. He didn't give the law under the old covenant for just a little while and then say, well, now I got something better. You don't need the law anymore. And now there's no more law. No. The law reveals God's standard. It reveals God's way of thinking. It reveals God's wisdom and God's way of doing things. And God does not change like people change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So He still has the same standards that He revealed under the old covenant through the law and the commandments. He still has the same wisdom. He still would guide us the same way under the new covenant as He guided them under the old covenant in many ways. So we don't want to just disregard the law. We want to understand its purpose in our lives as Christians today. Now, I understand why people want to put the law behind them and they feel like it shouldn't be a part of a New Testament Christian. And scriptures like we've looked at over in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 that call the law a ministry of death or a ministry of condemnation. And there's a lot of scriptures that talk like that. Even in Romans 7:5, we looked at this, and I'm just briefly reviewing that the Bible says that the law arouses or stirs up the passions of sin that are in our members. So in other words, the law provokes people to sin. It stirs up the passions of sin. So as you look at scriptures like that, it would, you know, be pretty easy to assume that the law is a problem. It brings death. It produces condemnation. It stirs up sin in people's flesh. But we looked at these things and we saw that the law wasn't the problem. It just showed up the problem. How many people know problems don't proceed from God? Problems don't proceed from God. A lot of times people, you know, they have, they get into a relationship with somebody and it just seems like whenever they're around that person, you know, it just stirs up ugly things, nasty things. I mean, they're just tiptoeing through the tulips of life, minding their own business, you know, just loving life, loving God. And then they get around that person. And somehow when they get around that person, they come unglued, they come undone, and a metamorphosis occurs. And they start turning green, and they start ripping their t-shirt. Not necessarily, but next thing you know, all kinds of ugly things start coming forth. And they begin to think, whenever I'm around this person, they cause me such problems. But in reality, they're not really causing the problem, they're just showing up the problem. I preached a message a while back called The Perfect Spouse. How many people remember that message? Not too many of you. You need to go get it. It helped you. A lot of folks are looking for the perfect spouse. And what is the perfect spouse? The best spouse is the one that brings the worst out of you. Why? Because if it's in there, it needs to come out. Right? How many know if there's a devil in there, it needs to come out? The thing needs to be cast out, right? Well, thank God for folks in our lives that can help reveal to us our weaknesses. Reveal to us where we're lacking in the love of God. You know, there's a scripture in the Word of God that says, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. So, you know, how many people have gotten into a situation where, you know, you just spiritually fainted? I mean, you just fell apart. You came unglued. Flesh just took over. Your spirit fainted. It was gone, sleeping somewhere, and your flesh was just a-going. Well, a lot of times, see, you want to get mad at the thing or the person, the vessel that triggered it and caused them to faint. But what we need to learn to do is when we see that we have fainted spiritually, that we've had a faith failure, that we're fleshing out, that we are spiritually weak. We've allowed ourselves to become weak. And instead of judging that person, we need to come back and judge ourselves. You know, you don't get too far judging other people. You won't get very far in life judging other people. But if you judge yourself, you can transform your life. You can transform your circumstances. A lot of times folks want to change things in their life by judging others. Well, if they would just change, I'd be happy. If they would change, if this circumstance would change in my life, I would have peace. I would have joy. And we have to realize that the real problem is when we're not walking in peace and joy, it's because we've gotten our eyes off of Him. We're trusting in ourselves. We're loving our lives. And there's been plenty of times, you know, I go to the Lord about something and I want that thing to change, and He points right back at me and reveals to me where I'm being weak in this situation, where my faith is failing, where I'm fainting spiritually. And that it's not about changing the thing, it's about building myself up and getting myself in a place where I'm no longer fainting in the face of adversity. In other words, my strength is no longer small. But I am strong in the Lord, in the power of His might, and now I'm able to go through things that at one time caused me to pass out, that caused me to be overcome, that caused me to act like a victim, make me feel like a victim. How many of you have gotten stronger in your walk with God, and now there's areas in your life that, you know, you can see that when you get into situations that used to overwhelm you, you don't get overwhelmed anymore. That's good. That's growing up spiritually. That's growing up spiritually. That's becoming strong in faith. So, you know, look at adversity as an opportunity to test yourself, to see where you're at, so you can improve, so you can get better. If you don't know there's a problem there, if you don't know there's a problem, then you don't know to fix it. I mean, it'd be nice. I think we'd all do, I think everyone in this room would do very well if you decided to become a monk. I mean, that just sounds so nice to me. I mean, you'd feel so good about yourself. I mean, you'd feel so spiritual. If you think about it, I mean, you wear these really cool robes. Just the robes themselves make you feel like something, you know? And then you walk around the monastery, and there's nobody there but singing monks.
Oh, E-I-O.
I mean, the sound of it, right? I mean, you can feel real pious and just feel real good spiritually. It's nice. But you can also have a lot of issues that nobody knows about except God. Accept Him. And I don't know about you, but I want to grow out of immature fleshly issues. Don't you? I want to grow out of it, man, and grow up in the love of God. I want to grow up in the righteousness of God. And so the law came and it revealed a problem. It revealed the sinfulness of man. It revealed man's sin nature and that man could not make himself righteous. He could not make himself right in the sight of God. That was one of the purposes of the law. And we saw that over in Romans chapter 3. Let's look at that again. Romans, the third chapter. Don't be afraid to see your problems, to see your shortcomings, to see areas of weakness in your life. So many times people draw back from that. They don't want to see it. They don't want to see where they're weak. They're ashamed. They're intimidated by it. You don't have to be intimidated by it. Why? Because when you're weak, he is strong. And when you present your weaknesses to him, man, he'll transform your life. When you come to God because you recognize you're weak in an area, and you now recognize that you need him, it makes you more dependent upon him. It makes you more dependent upon him. And now more of his grace, more of his ability can be manifested in and through your life. Hallelujah. So don't be afraid to see yourself as you really are. We don't have to hide behind facades. We don't have to put on a mask, lie to others, and lie to ourselves. A lot of times folks are just living a lie, believing lies about themselves. And that's why we like that song, "Tell Me Lies, Tell Me Sweet Little Lies. Tell me lies." If you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. Don't listen to that stuff. But people want lies. They want to believe lies about themselves. Whisper sweet nothings in my ear. Tell me lies. Tell me sweet little lies. There's nothing sweet about a lie. And the more we're believing a lie, the more we're being deceived. And the more we're being deceived, the more we're walking in darkness. The more we're walking in darkness, the more of a chance you're going to stumble, bang into something, hurt yourself. So we want light. I want light. I want to know me according to truth. How many of you know God knows you better than you know you? Yeah, so hang around him and you can find yourself. Hang around God and let him reveal you to you. Get to know you. And once you get to know you, according to you, you'll become more dependent upon him, lean more into him, and thus have more of him manifesting in your life. Can you say amen? But here in Romans chapter 3, in verse 19, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Well, friend, that's a good thing. To know what sin is a good thing. Because sin is spiritual poison. Sin will destroy your life. And so one of the things the law will do, it'll help you to see what sin is. To be able to recognize sin in your life. And then thank God, now under the new covenant, we're not just sitting here recognizing sin and being in condemnation, being full of guilt and shame. Now we can take our sin to the throne of grace. And the Bible says we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. We can come boldly to God with that sin and confess it to him. Not hide it, not cover it, not blame it on Eve. Not blame it on somebody else. We could take responsibility for our actions without any shame, without any fear. Why? Because we got faith in our Savior. We got faith in the blood of Jesus. We got faith in what the Lord Jesus did for you and I on the cross 2,000 years ago when he bore our sins in his own body. Amen. He became our sin so that we could become his righteousness. Woo! So we're not drawing back. I'm not afraid. Now, under the old covenant, they didn't have the blood of Jesus. So they lived with a certain amount of guilt and a certain amount of condemnation. And so the law just kept revealing to them their sin and thus just continued to reiterate to them their condemnation and their guilt before God, that they're not right with God, that they're unrighteous, they're sinners. But now under the new covenant, God's so good that he sent his son apart from the law. Look at this here in verse 21. He says, but now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So the law bears witness of this righteousness of God because it is God's righteousness. The law is God's righteousness. It's his righteousness in written form. But now, verse 21 again, the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. There's no difference. Now you jump down to verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Now through Jesus Christ, you and I are the righteousness of God. All our sins are washed away. All of them. Isn't that good? Not just our sins that we've committed, but he even has taken our sinfulness. He has taken the sin nature that the law kept showing up. The law would show up the problem. It would show up that sin nature in man, thus causing man to live in a continual state of guilt and condemnation. But now Jesus has taken our sins upon himself and our sinfulness, which means that sin nature. He has removed the sin nature from us and given us his nature or his spirit. Now the Holy Spirit is living on the inside of you and I. Now the lawgiver is living on the inside of you and I. Now the righteousness of God is living on the inside of you and I. So now when we see the law, it reminds us of who we are, what we have been made. It teaches us what we're all about. When we look at the law, we should look at it as, this is who I am. When we look at the commandments, we shouldn't be looking at it as something we need to try to keep so that we make ourselves righteous. No. We should look at it as, I am the righteousness of God. This is who I am. This is not who I'm trying to be. So when we look at the law, we're not looking at it as something we're trying to be through our works. If I can do this, you know, I've got to keep these commandments and do this. No. You keep the commandments. You are the righteousness of God. This is who you are. This is who you are. Now, this reality of who you are in Christ Jesus, that you are the righteousness of God, is something that is revealed to you. A little here, a little there. As we continue to walk with God, as we continue to learn of him, study his word, renew our mind, we're learning about this righteousness of God. And if you go back to chapter 1 of Romans, it says in verse 17, it says, for in it, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. So as we're renewing our mind to the word of God, what's happening? Faith is coming. Faith in who we are. Faith in what, in whom God has made us to be. This is what he's made me to be. This is who I am. And when you see it and you understand now who you are, according to the righteousness of God, as you grow in your faith concerning who you are in Christ Jesus, as you grow in that more and more and more, then it just begins to, this kind of behavior begins to flow out of your life, and the old behavior is put away. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed. The old lifestyle is passed away. Amen. As you learn the righteousness of God, the word to you and I now is likened to a mirror. You say the word's a mirror. That's right. When I look in the mirror, who do I see? I see me. I see me. And that goes for the Old Testament and the New Testament. I said that goes for the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. When you look in the Word of God, when you look at the law, you're learning about yourself. You're not looking at it as, I need to do this. I need to keep this. Man, I fall so short of this. I fall so short of this. That's not what you say. That's not what you see. Now you look at it as, this is who I am. This is what I'm all about. As you look in to the law of God's word. Amen. In fact, even the commandments. Go to Exodus chapter 20. The commandments are given by God here to Moses on Mount Sinai. And actually all the children of Israel are standing there listening. And verse 1, and God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before you.
You shall not
make for yourselves a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So there's a lot of shall nots here in the word, isn't there? And I'm dramatizing it a little bit to bring forth a point. That is how most people hear the command. When they think of the commandments, the shall nots, that's how they hear it. They hear God saying, you better not. Right? Go ahead, be honest with yourself. You shall not. What does that mean? You better not. I'll come over there. Don't even look at me like that. You better not. Or you cannot. You cannot use my name in vain. You cannot have other gods before you. Cannots and better nots. That's how a lot of folks interpret shall nots. But that's not what he said at all. When he says you shall not, he wasn't saying you cannot, and he didn't say you better not. All you got to do is look at other scripture, and I mean the word of God is full of shells. Shells. It's full of shells. You go back here to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis, the first chapter. Look over here at verse 29. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food. Notice that. It shall be for food. That sounds like a good thing. God's saying, I've got trees for you. You can eat all the trees of the garden, and it shall be food for you. Well, what does he mean when he says shall there? Give me another word. Give me a synonym. Not cinnamon, a synonym. Huh? Will. So he said, we can look at it that way, where he says, and every tree whose fruit yields seed to you, it will be for food. How about chapter 2, verse 23? And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. What does shall mean there? Is it she can't be called woman? She better not be called woman? No. What is it? A better word for that would be, or another word would be, will. Right? She will be called woman. Verse 24. Therefore a man shall or will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife. Go to Psalm 23. Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Shall not. Shall not. Shall not want. Well, let me go back to Exodus here. That sounds familiar, that shall not. Exodus 20, I am the Lord of God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourselves any carved image. You shall not make for yourselves any carved image. You better not. You cannot. Well, Psalm 23, 1, I shall not want. You cannot want. You better not want. You will not want, will not, will not. So, when we look, we come back to the commandments, and we just simply replace the shall with will, we see something different. You will have no other gods before me. You will have no other gods before me. He's saying, he's not saying you cannot. He's not saying you better not. This isn't God threatening. This isn't God acting as a tyrant, belting out commands of what you better do or else. This is God, who we know is a faith God, and who speaks faith words, and who, according to Romans 4, is a God who calls things into being that be not as though they were. In other words, he's a God who looks into the darkness and he says, let there shall be light. There will be light. Let there be light. And through his words, through his faith confession, he changes the circumstances. He speaks forth what he expects. And how many people know when God says, let there be light, there's going to be light. When God speaks, he has what he says. And what is God saying over you? What's God's confession about you? You will not have any other gods before you. He believes that about you. This isn't words of fear. These are words of faith. Everything about God is faith. The Bible is referred to in Romans 10 as the word of faith. These words, these commandments are faith commandments. They are faith confessions. And you would do well to speak them over your life. I will not steal. If you have a problem with stealing, you struggle, you know, you look, you see somebody left some money there and it's vulnerable. If that gets to you, what do you need to do? You need to speak words of faith. Say, I'm not a thief. This is who I am. This is who I am. This is my faith confession. I will not steal. Hallelujah. I will not murder. I will not use God's name in vain. I mean, if you struggle with anything like that, you speak that of yourself. And if you don't struggle with it, then praise God. These things just reinforce what you already know to be true about yourself. They're faith confessions. They're not faith demands. Come on, this changes everything. Totally different perspective. This is now who we are. We will not worship any other God. Hallelujah. I will not take the Lord's name in vain. I will honor my mother and my father. Except when I don't get my way. No, especially when you don't get your way, bless God. Look in the mirror. You feel like being disrespectful? You feel like being rebellious? Come on, some of you teenagers know what I'm talking about. But you come over to the mirror and you say, man, I'm feeling all this stuff, but that's not who I am. I am the righteousness of God, and I honor my mother and my father, and I will not commit adultery or any kind of sexual immorality. I won't do it. Hallelujah. And when you understand who you are now and you begin to speak these things over your life, your faith rises up and, man, it just quenches all the fiery temptations of the devil. So that now, instead of the commandments stirring up your flesh to sin, because you looked at it in times past as something you had to try to become, even though that wasn't who you were, and as long as you saw yourself as something else other than the Word and you were trying to be this, you were only frustrating yourself and stirring up your flesh to do the exact opposite. The flesh was getting stirred up. The law, when you come at the law as a means to be made righteous, the more unrighteous and unholy and ungodly you're going to feel. It's going to stir up the exact opposite. You know, you see that a lot of times. You know, there's, we'll use, you know, little children as an example, you know. I mean, they're over here playing contently with some toy until some other child comes along and starts playing with this toy over here. And suddenly, covetousness is aroused, right? All of a sudden, they look over there, and I was perfectly happy with this toy until I saw him with that toy. And the toy that I know I can't have because he has it, it's the very toy I have to have. That doesn't go away with age. That does not go away with age. It can become more devious, more manipulative. It doesn't go away. The only thing that makes it go away is revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus, what Jesus, what God has made you to be through his son Jesus, that you are righteous, that this is who you are. This is not what you're trying to be. In other words, you've already got it. Somebody say, I already got it. See, as long as you're trying to get it, it creates anxiety. It puts pressure on you. And when you get under pressure, you get under stress. And when you get under stress, you become undone. And you begin to lose control. And you begin to break down. And you faint eventually at that adversity. Because of the pressure. But when you recognize, I'm already there. I'm righteous. Oh, glory to God. Apart from the law, just through my faith in Jesus, I'm righteous. I'm in right standing with God. Woo! I'm good with God. I'm good with God. And Paul had such a revelation of this. He says in a couple places, and we talked about it last time, he mentioned the scripture last time, that he said, all things are lawful for me. All things are lawful for me. In other words, I'm not righteous through the law. I'm not righteous through my good works, my trying to keep the law. I am already righteous. I've already been justified through my faith in Jesus. Praise God. I'm already justified. I'm already right. I'm in right standing with God. That's who I am right now. Apart from my deeds. That's how good God is. Think about that. You think about a person that gives their life to the Lord and they get born again. They're born again. God now calls them his child. He says, you are now my son, you are now my daughter. He says, now you are righteous. He gives you the keys to the kingdom of God. And immediately he begins to train you for the purpose that he has for your life. And here you are. You still have a lot of the old ways. A lot of the old thinking that you had before you gave your life to the Lord. Yet he's already calling you righteous. He's already calling you his son. Jesus is not ashamed to call us brethren. Not after we've matured a while. Not after we've grown in our faith. But just right there. As soon as we've made Jesus the Lord of our life. And we were born again. Right there. He says, all that I have is yours. You're now a member of my family. You're now in the kingdom. It's yours. Use my name. Cast out devils. Come on. And it's just amazing to me. You know, it's amazing to me how much God will use a person. He'll anoint them. He'll put his spirit on them. His gifts will operate in them. And yet, they're spastic spiritually. They're still fumbling around. They still have a lot of the old ways. I'm so glad God didn't wait until I was just perfect as I am today. God didn't wait before he started using me in ministry. He took me the way I was newly saved. He immediately started training me. And then immediately he threw me in the ministry. And I mean, I hardly knew anything. I didn't know a whole lot. And now he's got me serving him in the ministry. You know, you think, well, you know, he needs to wait a while, you know. But, man, he's ready right now. He sees you righteous. He wants to use you right now. Come on. He'll put his words in your mouth now. He's not ashamed to hang around with you now. He's not ashamed of you being called a Christian. Like Christ, he's not ashamed of that. Even though a lot of folks are still very ignorant, very carnal, we could say. Very carnal concerning the things of God. Not very spiritual at all. But yet he loves them. Isn't that amazing? Why? Because we're righteous apart from our works. We're righteous apart from the deeds of the law. And it isn't now we're Christians. Now we've got to keep the law in order to stay righteous. Having begun in the spirit, are you now going to be made perfect by the flesh? You can't. You're not going to keep in this thing by keeping the law. But notice what Paul said. He said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. In other words, there's a lot of things that aren't good for you. They aren't good for you. If you do it, it's not going to cause you to cease being righteous. You don't lose your righteousness because you engage in the flesh. But when you engage in the flesh, it'll cost you. It'll damage your faith. It'll damage your faith. And the Bible says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our victory in life, our being able to live long life, is our faith. So when we neglect the word of faith, when we neglect God's word and we just continue in the flesh and continue in the flesh, continue in the flesh, well, we're going to reap negative consequences for our actions. We're going to reap negative. We're not going to lose our righteousness because our righteousness was never a part of the works of the law to begin with. It was through our faith in Jesus. And you could continue in the flesh to the point where you damage your faith enough that now you lost your faith in the Lord Jesus. And I've seen it happen. I've seen people that they were just soaring with Jesus, soaring with God. And then they started reading things. Begin to read heresies, read false doctrines, begin to get in there and they begin to pull back from the Holy Spirit. They begin to pull back from the move of God, and they begin to get in there and study all kinds of crazy things. And then they sat down in front of me, looked me in the eyes and said, "I don't know if I can believe this." And this is a person that taught the Bible. "I don't know if I can believe this. I don't know what to believe anymore." And they and some other family members in that house ended up getting to a place where they didn't even believe in Jesus anymore. Damaged their faith severely, because instead of feeding on the Word and growing their faith, they began to feed on all kinds of doubt and unbelief and all kinds of heresies. So all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. You can destroy your faith in the Lord Jesus, which is what has given you the righteousness of God. You can get so close to the world that you fall deeply in love with it, so that now you love the world more than God. And he said, if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. You can get to a place where you love the world so much that you leave the love of God. You can leave it. Leave the love of God. So all things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. Not all things are good for your faith. Not all things are good for your life. So now, praise God, I'm the righteousness of God. And I'm getting in here. I'm getting in the Word of God. And I'm going to learn about it. And I'm going to grow my faith in it, so that I go from faith to faith. And this righteousness of God that I've been made is going to be now revealed to me more and more and more. And the more I see it, the more I can walk in it, because it's who I am. Once I get to know it, then I can do it, because it's who I am. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, I will not sin. And you can begin to call out whatever kind of specific sins you want to call out, but you are the righteousness of God. I will not sin.
You say, but Pastor, I still am. I mean, I just stumbled 3 times today. I still have sinned.
Yeah, but when was the last time you just confessed what I told you to confess?
I don't know if I've ever confessed it.
Well, there you have it. Your faith is weak. Your faith is weak. And if your faith is weak, you're going to faint. You're going to fail to walk in who you are. You're going to fail to see who you are, know who you are, and thus walk in who you are. If you think you're something else, then you're going to act like that's something else. You see this all the time, especially with young people driving down the road listening to crazy music. You know, they're listening to this music, and you could see that they're no longer Johnny. They've become something else. They've become this violent rapper. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, people wear it, you know? They listen to something long enough, and they get out of the car. It's like, they're wearing it. They see themselves according to what they've been hearing, what they've been listening to, the image that's been being put in front of them. You go to a movie. I know, you know, I used to go to movies like Spider-Man and Batman and things like that. I mean, I'd walk out of there, and I was ready to go. I was ready to scale walls, man. Have you know what I'm talking about? I was ready to climb things. I mean, I just wanted to climb things. Right? Because I had taken on that image. That image that I had been looking at. That image I had been beholding. Because there's a spiritual law that you become what you behold. So what are you beholding? What are you beholding? What mirror are you looking in? Are you looking into the rapper mirror? Are you looking into the mafia mirror? Some kind of movie? Criminal Minds. I don't know why I have these thoughts. What did you watch last night? Criminal Minds. I watch it every week. Oh. Got real quiet in here. I only got a couple chuckles in the front row. Very quiet. You keep filling yourself up with criminal activity, and guess what? You're going to have problems with. You're going to have problems with criminal activity, at least in your mind and your imaginations. And there's a lot of people, they got tormented thoughts, tormenting thoughts, because they have, they're fighting. It's like, I want to live for God, but, and there's this big struggle going on because they keep putting the wrong image in front of them. They've been made the righteousness of God, but they're still over here looking at the devil and the unrighteousness of the world. Still looking at what they looked at before they made the righteousness of God. Well, if you keep looking at what you looked at before you made the righteousness of God, if you keep doing that, eventually you're just going to go right back to in that place. Just living in unrighteousness. Not knowing any difference. You can get so dull and so darkened that you even forget that you were ever forgiven. That you ever were made the righteousness of God. That's not where we're going. Huh? We're growing. Hallelujah. And we're looking in here and digging into this law, digging into this word. And I love the law. I love the law. You go over here to Deuteronomy, and this is a big part of the law right here, Deuteronomy. And I got all kinds of great things highlighted here that get me excited. I mean, I just look down at some of the things I highlight. I mean, go in and possess the land. Praise God. Thank God for the law. The law shows me that I'm to be a possessor of land. Hallelujah. He says, in verse 17 of chapter 1, he says, you shall not be afraid in any man's presence, for the judgment is God's. Woo, hallelujah. That's what the law teaches me. Tells me I'll not be afraid in any man's presence. No fear of man. That's what that you get in there, that'll build your faith up in the righteousness of God, that you have no fear in the presence of man. Say, I have no fear in the presence of man. Hallelujah. And I mean, we can just keep going on here. The Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Praise God. That's chapter 2, verse 7, the latter part. He says, the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. As long as the Lord my God is with me, I will lack nothing. I'm looking at the law. I'm just going through here and just looking at some highlighted things. I didn't plan on preaching. Oh, I like verse 25 of chapter 2. This day I will begin to put the dread and fear of you upon the nations under the whole heaven, who shall hear the report of you and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. Oh, glory to God. Because I fear the Lord, the fear and dread of me is upon the nations. That's how you have favor. Not just with God, but with man also. You have favor because they fear you. In other words, they'll respect you and put you first place in life because they don't want to get on your bad side because they fear you. Amen. Chapter 4, verse 4. But you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Praise God, because I hold fast to the Lord, I'm alive today. Hallelujah. Chapter 4, verse 12. And the Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. I'm just looking at highlighted stuff, just some fun things. The Lord spoke to you out of the midst of the fire. How do you know our God is a God of fire? He likes fire, man. And so if you'll draw closer to the fire of God, you'll get good at hearing the voice of God because he speaks out of the fire. Man, I could preach all these verses. Hallelujah. Verse 29. And from there you shall seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. Glory to God. I find God. I seek him with all my heart, and I find him every day. Praise God's not far from me. I'm not struggling to find God, where are you? I need you, God. Where are you, God? No, thank God I found him. Praise God. And when I need him, I call on him, and there he is. Amen. Why? Because I seek him with my whole heart. This is the law. Lots of good things. Lots of good things in there. Praise God. And when you come over to Leviticus and you look at all the blood sacrifices, oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. The blood sacrifices remind you of Jesus. the ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God who has taken away the sinfulness of the world. He has taken my sinfulness. His blood was shed so that I could be now righteous in the sight of God. Hallelujah. Man, these remind me, the law reminds me of good things. It reveals the righteousness of God, reveals me to me. It causes me to grow in faith in who I am in Christ. And as I grow in faith, praise God, all unrighteousness has less and less power over me. Can you say amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand on our feet. Thank the Lord.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.